Well, clearly you didn't get overloaded because you tuned back in to part three of this week. I'm so glad because we have more tools to share. And we're going to continue to work through our list. I do want to remind you that as we think again more broadly about some of these tips, and I'm going to continue in the sensory section here. One of the things that you might have noticed is I called these differences with persons with ASD, not deficits. And I just have to tell a story about a student of mine that totally rocked my world and changed it. Her name is Jessica, and when I met her, her repetitive theme and behavior, this is who she was as an individual with ASD. She was the one who loved Star Trek, and she could recite long passages from any Star Trek. She knew who the guest stars were. She loved the costuming. She loved the costuming, and I wrote about her in that book that you're reading about the accessible gospel part and sort of how I presented that. But I think what hit me is that I was there the day that Jessica allow God to have her puzzle piece. Said, "I'm yours, Lord. I want to follow Jesus." And I didn't ask her if she wanted to give her heart to Jesus either, by the way. But to say I love you to Jesus and to let Jesus be the leader of her life. And I think what I got to see that day is what I can only term as the miracle of salvation. The miracle, the instant change. Jessica has no social veil. So I saw instantly how the Holy Spirit invaded her life and changed it. And it's not that Jessica doesn't have autism. She does. But that fascination with Star Trek, it was gone. Didn't hear about it. Now, you know what her area of interest is? Telling people about Jesus. Do you see my cross necklace? Do you know why I'm wearing this? She would talk about Jesus to people on the bus. She would talk about Jesus to people in the grocery store, to her grandpa, who happens to be an atheist, and that was always like we had to talk about that a little bit. But it was one of those things where Jessica was on fire. Her repetitive theme and behavior was telling people about Jesus, and I cannot call that a deficit. I call that what God does with any one of our puzzle pieces, all of our greens and all of our pinks when we hand that puzzle piece to Him. So I just wanted to mention that because I think, again, as we go through this, these are differences in wiring, and we have to recognize that God uses each one of us with all of our greens and all of our pinks, and that certainly has been true of Jessica. She also made the most profound statement. People would say her IQ is in the 50s somewhere, but boy, listen to this statement. My body has autism, but my spirit doesn't. Seriously, digest that one for a little while. She's just this amazing girl who's been part of my life. So with sensory differences, back to that sort of regulating, make sure you catch people before they cross that line using those break tickets, offering a space. Many congregations now are creating some sort of a space, as I mentioned before. That's why, for those sensory differences, because some people go on overload. Some people are wired way above middle C, and they are not going to handle VBS. They need a space to regulate, to push the reset button. Some days when your computer gets all messed up, sometimes the best choice is to turn it off and reboot it and start it back up again. That's true of some people's sensory systems. So to provide those spaces, to provide some spaces where they can get significant amount, like a trampoline or brushing or whatever that might be. So to have some tools to help people regulate those systems. Because it has become so common, at least here in the U.S., and I'm assuming in other places, the response of our congregations has had to really up in terms of providing those options and points of valves of release, even during times at church. So think about that. And so I want to talk a little bit about perspective taking as well as some of those social pieces in this last section. And I have to remind you that a social interaction can't take place alone, that always requires at least two people to have a social setting, right? So when you're thinking of ideas to try, sometimes we've overloaded the person with ASD and haven't put enough pressure on the other part of the social equation to implement something different or to learn something different. So actually, part of my training of you in the area of autism spectrum disorder is to establish that place of social understanding. If you're aware of some of these social differences, well, that gives you a chance sense then to perhaps ask a question the right way or ignore something because now you understand why a person may have said what they did or done what they did. So again, we're going to look a little bit at both of those things. And so first, social and perspective taking, as I combine them together, let's talk about that plan for the individual. You might be able to use books and videos, talking about it, somebody else doing that. And so what TV show does this person watch, or is it popular in your country or in your state? You could maybe use that to point out some social errors that this person is making, but they point them out with the character in the event. Good role play. You could say, you know, this is how it happened. Let's do it a different way. Let's have a redo, right? So we can role play it a different way. You may need to play detective. You may need to look for those things and discover why did they just do that? Does it always happen at 10 o'clock? I mean, what are those things that we need to be mindful of? These social information stories are huge, whether those video, whether they're written out, whether it's a sequence of pictures, providing advance information about a setting, about an activity, that is so important for some people. They can come into it with confidence then because they've experienced it. Remember how I drew the picture of what was happening? Here's the boy, here am I. You said, hey, you must weigh 400 pounds. And so I drew that out. Again, what that does is it adds a visual to whatever conflict or situation there was. What could you draw out? And could that help people interpret what was happening? Give information. Provide the perspective. You know, I think when you came in and said, your dress is ugly, that made Sue feel sad. And sometimes I'll also draw some faces on a sheet and I'll say, okay, well, if Sue's sad, what are you going to do to make her happy? Or, you know, put some emotion words. You know, she's sad right now. What would you like to try? And put that pressure on that individual to come up with an idea to try. So again, involving people in how are we going to fix this now can sometimes be helpful. My colleague Tori, when we talk about the topic of dementia in a little bit, is going to talk more about wraparound teams. So I'm going to save that concept. She describes those so well, but understand while she's applying this in the context of dementia, these wraparound teams can be very helpful in a variety of settings. So a person might benefit from having some people trained to know this individual well. Please remember that emotions may not match the face. I get this a lot where somebody will say, well, they're just laughing, they're just giggling. I'm like, they're laughing and giggling because they're showing you that they don't have control of their emotions right now. Might come out as anger, might come out as giggling. There's a whole bunch of choices, but don't expect emotions to always match the face as you're interacting with someone. But we also need to think about the others. What might they need? Do the peers need a plan? Is there information, a lesson you need to teach? How can they best be prepared to receive the gifts that this person brings to the community? Do you need to describe they left the room screaming because that noise was unexpected and God created each one of our ears differently? That noise was too loud for our friend Justin. What information do you need to give on the fly or planned into your setting because you know there are going to be these kinds of questions that come up? We'll talk more about that on our last week, very specific lesson plans and how we've done some of those. Same for the leaders. What kind of information? Hopefully, this session has been helpful to you. Hopefully, you'll leave saying, oh my goodness, now not only do I understand those differences, but I understand some ideas I can use to come alongside that individual. But again, how can we give important information to leaders so that they also have that information? As you have well guessed, many of the examples, both in the first part about sharing information about Jesus Christ and making that introduction, as well as ideas that are planted in the inclusive worship section of the book you're reading for this course, many of those strategies are going to be very effective for persons with ASD. How can you get that information into the hands of your leaders? That, too, we're going to talk a little bit more about our final week, but I wanted to let you know, anybody, you know, do you need to have an adult education? Does your leadership team need to study this? Because you have several individuals with ASD in your community. Information can be super, super helpful. So I wanted to just close this section with an actual plan for an actual person. David was transitioning from fifth grade into a youth group, and what they were noticing, David, who had been well included through universal design features in this church, all of a sudden, the boys in that grade were just moving away from him. He didn't have that social space figured out, so he'd get too close. The things David thought were funny, they didn't think were funny at all. The leaders in youth group were not at all pleased that David was transitioning to youth group, and so they, too, were nervous and weren't thinking that youth group would be a great setting. So, again, they gathered people who knew David well, parents, David, as part of that. David happens to be brilliant. David has phenomenal ability to memorize. He is has learned so many positive social skills, so he's able to be taught social pieces along the way. And so the plan at church involves several things. First of all, remember, two sides. Let's start with that other's side. They decided to use All Belong to do some training with the leadership and to do some training with the peers to talk about some of those differences that they might see. With David, they decided to do some training on social distance, and they also decided to use his gifts in service by being the one who recited passages in front of the congregation as well as within the Sunday school and youth group area. The leaders, the fifth grade leader and the sixth grade and the overseer of the youth group met together, and actually the youth group leader spent a little time in the fifth grade to see how well David could do in that setting, and then built that relationship before he transitioned. So the plan didn't last very long. It lasted for a year. They checked in. The transition had happened well. David was being embraced by his peers. He also wasn't getting close enough to embrace them, which is really good for those guys, right? But David had learned, they had discovered his many gifts in leading, in memorized scripture, and again, it was going well. So they had basically a one-year plan. If they would need to put it in place again later, they could do that. So many differences. Ben, who I talked about as an example in that responsive design plan, his plan lasted for many years. You know, he had other pieces that were part of his life different from David. So again, you meet one person with autism, you met exactly one person with autism. So it's personalized plans for a reason. And David didn't need a plan in the Sunday school years. They had a lot of features that worked well for him, but this was a junction when he did. So I hope this has been helpful for you. Again, you know, check out, I've mentioned some of the resources. Check those out at allbelong.org. We're eager to continue to resource you, but hope you've enjoyed pulling out some strategies and ideas based on your new understanding now of autism spectrum disorder. Enjoy your day.